the opinions you love, the history you crave. This is Rant DM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Daylight in the man cave today.
So that's why my skin is kind of like smoke's coming out and it's bubbling.
Yeah, pretty much. Ladies and gentlemen, from the current to the way back, your new symbolized, recognized symbol of excellence, whatever they call it in sports entertainment broadcasting.
The new generation of sports journalism.
We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live WrestleMania Sunday on the Rant. RantEMRadio.com is the place. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, joining me in fucking studio today, my tag team partner in crime, matching t-shirts and all,
170 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, the Mega Powers.
That's right. Dave is in studio. We're not Skyping today.
Woo!
Yeah, baby. All right. We are, this is the day. This is our Super Bowl, the showcase of the Immortals, WrestleMania Sunday. The snacks are being gathered. The guests are coming in a couple of hours. Dave came for the special 2-4 WrestleMania weekend Rant EM Radio extravaganza, and we are so glad to be a part of that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm excited for this happening. It's going to be a spectacle for the ages.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about real quick what's been going on. We had Lex on this morning. Shout out to Lex.
Yeah, Lex and, Luger.
No, not the total package.
I was going to say, you know, I'm not a big fan of his tag team wrestling.
No. This is our Lex, Lex Experience. Shout out to Lex. Then Mr. Will I Am Morgan just had a little call-in show action with those cats, and now us. And we have the Rant going up right up to WrestleMania, and then we have a post-game show, I guess. I guess you'd call it that. I don't know.
Yeah, posting all right.
All right, let's go. I don't know if we're going to be taking calls. It depends on how we do. Well, I mean, we're taking one call in particular. The boss wants to call in, so
so he can finally suspend that bozo Tony C. Tony C. Vonny, as I like to call him.
Tony C. Vonny, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
or Tane C.
I didn't ask the boss. It's his network, so if he wants to come on here and address anything, it's his floor. So when he calls in and seems fit to do that, we'll do that. We will be announcing the winner of our Rebook the Streak. We only had three entries. We've been plugging it for...
We had 300, you mean. That's what you meant to
say. I'm sorry, 306. 300, but we...
Oh, I want to say this real quick. You know, I posted that photo of me and the Warrior on the main Facebook page.
A lot of like, hits?
That photo reached over 2,000 people. Ain't that something?
Yeah, go to facebook.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. That's our official page. We have a group page that we're very active on. Dave posted a picture of him and his pal, the Ultimate Warrior.
A real world champion.
Yeah, the real. I got the DVD. The DVD is not bad. It's really not that bad.
Don't tell me anything. I can't wait.
We can watch a little bit of it today if you want.
I
want
to wait until
you want to wait until you get it in the mail. Yeah. Okay, yeah. No problem.
No spoilers.
No. I mean, obviously, here's the deal. And I spoke about this last night on the post wrap up for the Hall of Fame ceremony with the Rant guys. The Warrior, and we'll talk about the Hall of Fame in a second. The Warrior did. Last night, he defended himself a little too much with the DVD, the first one, the self-destruction one. So
yeah, well, I think at the same time, too, I think as far as on this kind of level, you know, on the network, on the WWE program, he's been defending himself on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not sure how many people have, you know, really seen how this man has changed over the years, you know? So I feel his... You know, him justifying himself on the Hall of Fame was completely fine, in my opinion. Plus, you know, everybody last night, you know, did their hour-long speech, which I was fine with. And, you know, the man had his form. You only get one Hall of Fame speech unless you're in the elite four horsemen. Then you get two Hall of Fame speeches.
All right, so let's get right into the Hall of Fame then, because both of us did watch it in its entirety. And I was telling AA last night, I based my people's opinions on the Hall of Fame by casual fans.
Yeah.
Point being that my wife, this is her favorite part of WrestleMania weekend.
The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because she'll watch the bridged version on USA or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But she gets really excited when I get the DVD because we watch the whole thing in its entirety.
Yeah.
This year she was more excited because we watched it live. Now
it was live.
There it is. We got to get you recording that, actually. I want to make that a sound bit. I thought, now, again, and this was brought up too last night, I think Lita went a little bit too long.
I don't think so. In my opinion, as I just said, you only get one Hall of Fame speech. It's their floor. I purposely did not join in on Facebook because I know everybody was going to shit on everything that was happening, which I wanted to avoid. I just wanted to enjoy watching the Hall of Fame.
No, you know what? I jumped in for a second. It was mostly Matt and Baza last night, and Baza was pretty upset about it last night.
Yeah.
But
that's his bag. That's how he interpreted it.
Like I said the other day, man, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has them.
Yeah.
Some of them stink.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they stunk. I'm just saying, like, in general.
Hey.
He's
entitled to his opinion, and I'm entitled to mine.
I only have a problem with the long speeches because of the, you know, you have between 6 and 8 people every year.
Yeah.
So this was probably the longest they've ever gone.
Yeah, so, it was over. It was like 3.5 hours, and I think, you know, Carlos Colon got the shit end of the stick.
Well, you know what though, Carlos Colon really didn't contribute anything to WWE.
Hey, he had that great Royal Rumble entry.
He's being recognized as a promoter, and rightfully so. And of course,
the recognized symbol of Puerto Rican excellence.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. It's a here's the deal. I know Vince is in cahoots with buying the library, which
yeah.
I said last night, man, if they can do that, and you know for a fact there are gems, like from the late 70s up until the early 90s, even after Brody passed away, they were still booking good cards there.
Well, that was the thing, and, you know, we had our boy Uptown Georgie, you know, telling us, you know, WWC was bringing in some, like, excellent talent, you know. From what I could tell, like, there wasn't too much homegrown guys that were all that great, but still, Cologne had access to some amazing talent. He had the NWA, he had Savage before WWF. Lots of gems right there.
You know, obviously, the speech of the night was Jake Roberts.
I agree.
You know, and I got the chance to interview him last year with the Man Cave guys, and it was a cool thing for me. Just by personal experience, anybody who can beat the Demon and come back at that level and still, you know, be – I mean, his voice was shot and he was a bit slumped over, but he's out of shape. He's back in shape. He's been out of shape for a long time.
Yeah.
Had his family there. That was cool. Grandkids, the whole nine yards. And you know what? A lot of guys were giving Diamond Dallas Page a lot of crap for – his introduction for Jake and kind of like put himself over. But in the same breath, I mean, Diamond Dallas Page should be a credit to guys like him and Scott Hall. And here's a guy who was 35 years old and started his wrestling career.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So kudos to him. And I thought it was great. I thought Scott Hall, you know what? I think Scott Hall was taken in by the whole ambiance of being with the Click and getting his spot. I don't think he meant to talk for only 5 minutes.
I think they. I want to say that they cut him off early.
Did they?
It seemed like it.
The only person they really cut off and
was Mr. T.
Was Mr. T.
We'll get into him.
Yeah, we'll get into him in a second. But I thought Scott Hall could have been a little longer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. With what the guy's gone through, I wanted to hear a little bit more about his time with Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll do another documentary.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure with the footage and stuff like that.
Right now, DDP's working with Jake to do the resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts documentary.
So I'm excited. Shout out to everybody chatting, by the way. How's everybody sound? How we sounding out there? Is now that Dave's in the studio, he's not Skyped in.
I sound great anywhere I am, where I am, you know?
Dave's got a new mic stand. I got him a new new cover for his mic.
Got my Quick Check coffee with the Girl Scout cookie thin mint.
Dude, creamer. Quick Check is a fine establishment. I'm so jealous that you guys have that out there.
And they're all over the place in Jersey.
I know, man. I was in Jersey. What was it? Jersey Friday night. I went to Woodbridge for a party.
Oh.
Shannon Rose was the restaurant. And shout out to my hopefully my future brother-in-law Rob. It was his birthday. And we stopped at a Wawa over there. Wawa is a fine establishment.
Yeah, Wawa is getting some action in Jersey too. But we're not here to talk about
no,
Wawa.
No, I just like the state of New Jersey's rest stops, that's all.
Yeah.
Everything on the I-95 is fantastic. And Route 1, Route 9, Route 17.
Yeah, they got some exquisite convenience stores in Jersey. We're up in our game.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get back to the Hall of Fame. All right, so Carlos Colon was okay, like we mentioned. Carlito took a couple shots.
At the WWE.
Yeah.
Talk about how he's been working in bingo halls and VFW halls, and to hear the little Carlito chant that went on was a good thing for – well, actually, Sheets is better than Wawa.
I stayed in Pittsburgh for a couple of summers in the early 2000s, and where I was staying, we were down the road from a Sheets. Another fine establishment. So that was like my breakfast, my lunch.
I remember some rides with the Beyond guys and driving through Pennsylvania. They wanted to stop at a Sheetz. And I've been there before. It's like an amusement park of a convenience store.
Yeah, and every one of them has like the good old boy gas station. Where all they have is like chewing tobacco and NASCAR hats in the one section when you walk in. So, yeah.
Sheetz has everything. Sheetz is the... The bar standard, you know.
It's like a pilot, like those pilot rest stops.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, Carlito kind of took his jabs, and you know what? You're not relevant no more. Your brother's doing really well for himself, dressed up like a matador. So good for him.
I didn't know that they were Los Matadores.
Yeah, and it's Primo. I think Primo's the brother. Epico's the cousin.
You know, good for them making Chico Santana's old gimmick relevant now.
Yeah, that's speaking of matadors. What was the deal with El Torito and fucking Hornswoggle?
That was a waste of time.
That was a waste of time. Barrett was funny.
You know,
but
I love nut shots, but that one I just didn't give a shit about. They just needed to move on.
Yeah, man. There was no reason for it to be on.
This ain't the Slammies from like 85.
You know, you could have had those segments like they were playing the WrestleMania segments, and I mentioned this last night too. They played those little like vignettes in between the inductees,
mm-hmm.
where they had the acoustic versions of like Batista's music and Randy Orton's music. That was cool. I dug that.
Yeah, I love those themes. I really don't like the newer themes, but those themes in particular, they're just so fucking corny and cheesy that they're fun to listen to.
And actually, we'll get into that in a little while because I know I'm hearing that Rev Theory is going to be performing Randy Orton's theme at WrestleMania this year, and I also heard that whoever does Bray Wyatt's music for the Wyatts is going to be performing, and I heard Eminem is supposed to be in the house as well.
With Rihanna?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Maybe.
I had the pleasure of working with her in person. She lives up to the hype. Let me just put it that way.
She's a island girl, right? Barbados. Yeah. She's pretty, man. She's a good-looking lady. All right.
Oh, God, yeah.
So we did Scott Hall, Jake Roberts.
I love
Roberts,
that dark meat.
Yeah. We don't have
at least that one.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. Let's – so we talked about those. All right, so let's get
– Tony C is trying to start shit already, you know.
Nah, whatever.
You know, we're going to get your ass suspended indefinitely tonight or this afternoon with AA. So we're going to end this. We already got the complaints coming in from Facebook.
We had two complaints, and I addressed it. I'll get into that right after we finish the Hall of Fame. So let's finish the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
All right, so we want to.
We had 200 four. Complaints, actually.
No, shut up, idiot.
What?
Shut up. Come on, my train of thought is ruined now. All right, Mr. T.
I loved it.
I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it. I understand. I understand where why he did what he did, and his son looked like friggin' Pasta Nose from De La Soul, if anybody's a De La Soul fan. Love De La Soul, by the way. He looked just like him with the hair and the Gumby haircut and everything with the glasses. Looked like fucking Pasta Nose. Mm. There was no need for him to carry on in length. Now, he mentioned he was going to be a minute about his mom. So that's cool. Yeah. You want to put your mom on a pedestal. I get it.
But how long did it go for, do you know?
Almost an hour.
Really?
Yeah, that's the thing. And it was funny because Triple H, you see Triple H on the phone.
Uh-huh.
When they panned the camera off,
uh-huh.
He was on the phone, like, obviously calling the back truck saying, get somebody out there.
Yeah, he's got to wrap it up.
And they played Kane's music to bring Kane out, which I thought was cool, not to totally embarrass him.
Yeah.
And you could tell T was kind of like,
he's like, okay, sorry.
I'm sorry, which was okay. All right, I get it. Here's the and here's what summed it up for me, and we just talked about this recently with the Legends Roundtable, how Piper did not like Piper at all in any capacity. He was bad to work with. He didn't take direction.
Mm-hmm.
He was all about himself and not the business, which, of course, a lot of wrestlers take offense to that, but who cares?
Well, at the same time, you know, not just T, but these guys too, you know, amongst themselves, you know, as T mentioned in his speech, you know, all these guys have, unique backgrounds. More or less, they're in the business so they can get out of whatever the hell situation that they're in, whether it's for better or worse. And thank you for adjusting my mic.
Sorry.
But everybody wants to succeed in some sort of fashion. They want to have something better for themselves. They want to have something better for their family. And regardless of how they treat each other, they're all in it for the same reason. So in that respect, they should respect each other for doing what they're doing because they want to enjoy their lives.
Right. So I got it. But, again, I thought it took way too long. And then, of course, we get...
I agree. But I enjoyed what T had to say. It was interesting.
It was heartfelt. I get it. No, yeah. The Bible thing, I get it.
But it went on way too long.
It went on way too long. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about church last night, too. And I was like, you know what, it's... Even when I go to church and people have like the guest lectors and stuff like that, you can sign up to be a guest lector.
Uh-huh.
You go up there, you read a couple passages, you do the church announcements, and you know you call it a day.
Yeah.
But it's structured.
Yeah.
And I think to avoid this the next time, you know, you have these guys come out and you say to him, listen, try to not to go past 20 minutes. If you go 30, you're fine. Now you have eight. You have six people, so 30 minutes for each person.
And T was only like the third guy, right?
Right.
But, it's a wrestling hall of fame, so people wanted to hear T talk about his experiences.
And he didn't even get to do that.
No.
That's the thing, too. That's what pissed me off the most, is that you didn't thank anybody. And they didn't make it a Hogan Fest last night, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, that was huge for me because, first of all, Hulk Hogan's a punk, and two... It's about those gentlemen that are being inducted.
I thought for sure, dude, they were going to actually, you know, make it all about him because he was the host this year. And I'm glad they didn't. And I'm glad he was there. I'm glad he's a part of this. I'm really glad he's a part of this. I really am. Even though he's not getting the pop I thought he would coming back, I'm really happy that he's back in the fold.
He was getting a decent pop during the red carpet.
I didn't see the red carpet. I was actually in Queens picking up my nephew, I missed the red carpet.
It was fine. You didn't miss too much, but they just interviewed a lot of the stars in attendance, the superstars.
All right. So now let's get to the Ultimate Warrior, and I touched upon it right before we got into this, and I like his, you know. I think he's always kept the same attitude about the business, and I don't want to give the DVD away, but when he opens up the DVD, the first couple of programs he had, he put the guys over big time, Hercules and Harley Race, and I'm not going to say what he said, but, you know, you put that on, and, I think his attitude was good. And even guys that disrespected him on the first DVD, he put those guys over too.
Yeah.
Guys like Bobby Heenan and stuff like that. So,
well, that was the thing. I remember a while back, And I think even when I, you know, was with him in person, he mentioned how, you know, a lot of people could say, like, oh, he's butthurt about the DVD and all that kind of stuff. But he was, you know, actually, like, legitimately hurt because a lot of those guys he was friends with, and even guys like, you know, Heenan and Andre, you know, he said that he was cool with those guys. So to hear people like Heenan and I don't know if it was Flair he mentioned, but some of those other guys, like, just talking shit. It's kind of like, you know, what the hell is going on? You know, he spent all this time with these guys on the road. You know, they're all family. But, you know, years down the road, you know, the guy's been out of the business for a long time, and he's one of those few guys who saved his money, did what he did best, you know, to make his family life and his life outside of the ring be successful and work out and not be one of those guys that just, you know, hangs around for, like, way too long like Hogan.
Right.
But anyway.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
He wasn't one of the guys. He wasn't one of the boys.
Mm.
You know, he put the jobbers over.
Yeah.
They even show you matches against jobbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? I think he's at a point in his life where he's humbled that he got the spot he got. I know he regrets being a dick, mm-hmm. holding him up for money at one point. Because it's common knowledge. Linda McMahon.
There's even on Reddit not too long ago, somebody posted the correspondences between him and McMahon after WrestleMania 6. Because, you know, Warrior was in the top spot and he wanted the same attention, the same pay, the same treatment that Hogan was getting because he was at the top too. So why not?
Right. So.
And I don't blame the guy for doing it too.
You listen, know? They admitted. Linda McMahon made point of it too, that he didn't take direction very well and all this stuff. And you know what? I'm glad they addressed it. I just thought he took way too long, A, and B, he took too long defending himself, which he really didn't have to. Because now you're in a spot where he defends himself to everybody, and then he goes and says, I have a Legends contract. Why does my phone keep ringing? It's my uncle. Okay, I have to.
Well, to a degree, I do. I agree with you because you know, a lot of these guys, they have huge egos. It's still, you know, it shows up in, you know, how he was talking last night. And to your point, he wasn't totally one of the boys. I remember him saying, you know, a lot of times on the road, you know, after he was done with his matches and stuff like that, him and his agent just would go out to eat, and then he would try to find a gym late at night around like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, get his 3 hours of sleep, and start the day over again, you know?
So he was a unique guy.
But also Lawler was one of those dudes who just never hung out with the boys when he was driving from town to town. He drove by himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, to a degree, you know, everybody handles how they want their lives to go. They want to be able to keep that sanity and not get caught up in all the drama and BS that happens with being on the road with all these guys, and everybody's getting paid differently, and, you know, rumors spread like wildfire, and I'm sure that affects a lot of how guys act in the ring and how they act out in their personal life, you know?
Yeah. Again, went too long. A lot of them went too long except for Scott Hall, which I thought he'd be the longest considering his history. He put himself – And Axel's right. He did invest into his character way too seriously.
I don't agree. That's how he wanted to live his life. That's his choice.
I get it. But, you know, if you're going to live your character, be humble. And he wasn't, dude. Let's be honest. He was not humble when he wasn't getting paid anymore and he wanted his name and they wouldn't give him his name and it was a lawsuit and then he went to the comic book and all that nonsense. You take your character too seriously. He wanted his character branded like Hulk Hogan.
True.
He wanted his character to be on all the toys and all the stuff. And let's face it, you're not Hulk Hogan. You're not.
From a business standpoint, the guy just wanted to make sure his life was secure.
I understand. So, no, I understand that. And
in that respect, you know, I completely understand. Like I agree. He's not on the same level as Hogan. There's only one Hulk Hogan. And, you know, I reluctantly want to say, you know, Hulk Hogan is – I want to say he's more than just the Babe Ruth of
sports entertainment,
pro wrestling, as
yeah,
I like to call it.
Of course.
But he's a real trailblazer, a real pioneer. You know, wrestling wouldn't be what it is today without Hulk Hogan. Warrior, on the other hand, you know, if Warrior was never around, wrestling would still be wrestling. But still, he made his impact. He
was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying awesome wrestler. I'm saying, and not for nothing, the stuff that I watched again, his stuff with Harley Race wasn't too bad. His stuff with Macho Man was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I drank the Kool-Aid. I loved his character.
So did I. I still love the character.
So do I. He was so over the top.
Uh-huh.
Like, I could just, if he would have just played his cards right, he could have been a couple of years more down the line.
I absolutely agree.
I just think his ego got the best of him.
Yeah.
I thought he demanded way too much of his character.
Uh-huh.
And invested too much time in his character and tried to be that lifestyle. And they're, you know, and I don't want to make the comparisons to Hogan or anybody else, but I'm just saying, like, you could say that if he stayed in the business, I'm not saying he would have been bigger than Hogan. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody bigger than Hogan. That's
no.
A, you know, whether I like him or not.
I don't know, maybe Stone Cold.
Maybe. That's a debate we'd have to get into. That's definitely, and that's been talked about a lot on other shows.
Yeah. But I want to say this, too, you know, even leading up to the Hall of Fame, coming into this, you know, I've actually been receiving a bunch of emails from the guys that I did Warrior University to, my fellow Warrior University graduates.
That's a great picture, by the way. I'm glad you put that up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beats my picture with Pitbull number two, but in front of the ECW arena.
So, yeah, but me and Warrior in front of the diner reached 2,000 people. That was awesome. But anyway, but I've been receiving emails from a lot of the guys that did Warrior University with me. A lot of guys are pissed off with just reason. I'm not going to get into details because it's nobody's business but ours. And but, you know, Warrior did screw over a few guys. But, you know, from my experience, the guy was humble to me. He was the ultimate gentleman, in my opinion, and you know, provided us with a once in a lifetime opportunity. Even though the guy did some wrong to some of those guys, at the same time, whether he knew it or not, he created a once in a lifetime opportunity for us. He created a strong brotherhood amongst us, and some great opportunities for us to work together and develop our lives and our personalities to the highest potential that we want to take it to. So I'll never forget that. I'll always be in gratitude to the Ultimate Warrior for that. Even if he did take down my posters, I don't care. we all at one point or another, you know, treat our families, we treat our friends, our girlfriends, our wives, our husbands, whatever, you know, pretty nasty down the road. We're all guilty of it one way or another. But I'm not going to hold him to that. I'm not going to talk shit about the man. We all have our mistakes. So I'm just looking towards the positive and, you know, not living in the past.
And that's what Warrior is doing now.
Yeah.
He's finally at a place in his life where he's humble enough to accept his role in the business.
Yeah.
I'm praying to God that they do more stuff with him. I hope the network does more stuff with him. We have three or four action figures in the next room right now being played with the Warrior on them. So then my kids, my nephew, my son, they all get it. We all get it. He was great, and he was fantastic. So that's your Hall of Fame. Listen, I got to step away for a second. Dave and I are going to pay some bills, and we will be back in like 3 minutes. So you listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast exclusively on The Rant, WrestleMania Sunday in full effect, EFFECT. And we'll be right back after we pay some bills.
I'm Kevin Castle. The self-help seminar depicted in this program may not intend to provide any such benefit.
Has wrestling become boring for you? Find yourself ashamed to talk about it amongst your peers at work? Do you often think that maybe Nancy deserved it? Hi, I'm Anthony Black, and I'm here to tell you that you may be suffering from a serious wrestling dysfunction known as Russoitis. Russoitis is the leading cause of impotence in wrestling fans and has also been linked to abnormal levels of patience for obviously crappy gimmicks and angles. But don't worry, there is hope for you yet. Don Tony and Kevin Castle are here every Monday night to help you through this debilitating infliction with their deep insights and personal advice.
I could touch my entire ass.
Don Tony and Kevin Castle have literally helped hundreds of thousands of fans come to terms with their wrestling dysfunction, and they can help you too.
I'm not a retard.
But don't take my word for it. Listen to some testimonials from the people once afflicted by Russoitis.
I have been listening to Don and Tony and Kevin Castle for about 6 months now. Thanks to them, I now know more about wrestling and stuff. Me and my boyfriend, thank you, Don and Kev.
I've been listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle for a while now. I only started because whenever I watched wrestling, I wanted to fucking kill someone and smear their brains on a wall. Now, thanks to them, I'm in more control and at peace with some of the horrid booking I see on TV. Thank you, Don and Kev. Fuck, 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 kill, fuck!
So don't just sit there. Go to wrestling-news.com and take part in the cure every Monday night after Raw. Common side effects of listening to Don Tony and Kevin Castle include, but are not limited to, high and low blood pressure, excessive happiness, depression, heartburn, heartworm, gonorrhea,
allergenic reactions, photogenic memory loss, blood and stool in urine, weight loss, weight gain, dilated pupils, sinus infection, crabs, discoloration, rash, unnecessary roughness, 5-yard penalty, club foot, herpes, blindness, and
this is Dustin Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the 3-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, blue-eyed soul, Dustin Rhodes getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will.
Hey, monkeys, check out The Bloke Show. It's a weekly podcast with dedicated topics for fans of cartoons, movies, comics, wrestling, music, and plenty more. Join them for a laugh at the world each week with the news you won't see on TV, from Florida to France to Fremantle. Where the hell is Fremantle? Rotating wrap-ups with top five picks and pans, and everybody's favorite, Marry, Fucking Kill, or Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Bloke Show is a friend of the Turnbuckle Throwback Wrestling Podcast, and a member of the Atomic Geeks Network. Find them at theblokeshow.libsyn.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and your mom's basement.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and, of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and, of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey, kids, you like the show? Do you like the logo on the show? Well, we put the logo on a T-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks and buy the shirt. The shirt is cheap, and it helps the show with original artwork by Dean Stahl. So what the hell are you waiting for? prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt!
Buddy. Woo. A little Survivor for you.
right, we're back.
We're back.
RantEMRadio.com. We are a Shining Wizards production. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Impact player Mr. Phil Ray in the studio with you with my tag team partner in crime, the Mega Powers.
The Mega Powers.
The Mega Powers. You gotta All right. So we did all that nonsense. You want to announce the contest winner? You want to go into our... What's, you want to wait till about three? We'll go into our Mania stuff and we'll...
Let's do the contest now.
All right. So Dave's going to read off the... Because he's closer to the screen. We had multiple entries for our beat the... Rebook the streak. And our winner is our pal Harry Taylor from the UK. We want to thank all of our contestants. Dave and I will be mailing out a package of... a prize package very soon.
Yeah, thank you to all 299 entrants. All
right, so Dave's going to read that real quick while
I'm not going to read this whole thing. This is huge. Like, he went into... We'll post it on Facebook because this thing is, like, really long. Like, he broke it down week by week. A big... A feud, you know, starting with the Shield and bring Sting back into, or for the first time in WWE.
All right.
Surprisingly, there's no RoboCop in this, but, you know, we'll let that slide.
Oh, again with the RoboCop. All right, so.
Hey, he's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in the WCW.
He is. He is RoboCop, in effect.
He was better than Lex Luger, I'll tell you that much.
Right. All right. So that's it. Our winner is Harry. Harry, if you're listening, congratulations. Harry lives in the UK, so that prize package may take a little bit to get to because it's expensive to ship.
I can do something on the cheap.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, we'll figure out something.
I didn't know you could do something on the cheap.
I think like on the cheap is like $7 or $16. But
fucking, we got an extra bubble wrap it.
Yeah. No, no, no. The less that you put in there.
Oh, the less. Right, because it weighs, because it goes by weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we could do something cheap. On the cheap.
On the cheap, if you will. All right. So, let me see here.
Oh, he's actually messaging me right now asking when is the show on. We're on now, buddy.
Tell him to call in.
Yeah.
Tell him to call in. I think we should get AA on here, man. Let me message him.
He's got to call us.
Right, I'm asking if he, you know, let me make sure.
Let's get this over with. Let's get Tony C off the air. Let's get him off the chat. I had enough of him. And the fans have had enough of him.
I'll address that in a second. So we had a couple of complaints about the way the show's been handled the last couple of weeks since we've been on a rant about having certain guys on and... You know, and I as eloquently as I could, and this is one of our listeners is a fan from before I even started this format, when I first started doing the podcast, like the first 20 episodes.
When it was just you.
Right. Double A's would be calling in around 3 o'clock. All right. So, I'm convinced that we're not going to please everybody. As much as we are very interactive with our fans, as much as we, you know, get crazy and get silly and...
You can't please everybody.
Sometimes
you can't
some
make everybody
off-color
happy.
Shit. Yeah, you know. You can't please everybody. And I'm good with that, you know. However, certain people we bring on the show are... Not only are they friends of ours, but they're very entertaining. Like, extremely entertaining.
And extremely offensive, in my opinion.
Well, that's your opinion, but it makes for good radio. And I really started this podcast to be serious, but because I got Dave on board, because I can't keep a straight face most of the time, that's not going to happen.
Are you saying I'm not serious?
No, not all the time, and that's cool.
I've been serious this whole time.
No, yeah, all right, whatever. But again, it's not going to be in our DNA to do that. This is there are going to be days where we don't take calls because we have some really great content that's going to deserve our undivided attention. Especially the next week or two, Dave and I have an awesome show lined up for you. Matter of fact, I did extensive research and sent Dave, I think, 23 different clips.
Yes, I've seen them all in the past. All
right,
that's
and
one of my favorite.
It's
gonna of all
and
time.
It's one of my one of like the things that we always talk about doing. We never got around to because there was so much going on. Now we're gonna do it. So that may be one of those shows where we don't take calls because it's going to be a great night of just old school throwback. A feud. It's a great feud. All right, and I'll and
back
I'll,
when feuds were handled well.
Right, back when they back when the stories were told at a premium, and you got good stories out of even the shittiest of wrestlers.
And you had to go to the house show to see it go down.
Yeah, and it all came to a head whether it was a it all came to a head whether it was a gimmick match or. You know, or a feud that just...
Or even a jobber match.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
The story was compelling. It broke people's hearts and brought some tears to people's eyes. Everything.
Oh, there's Harry in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations, Harry. You are our contest winner. You will inbox Mega Powers and myself your home address somewhere in the UK.
And we're going to send you some awesome shit.
Yeah. And Harry...
Some good stuff like the British Bulldogs.
I'm, you know,
the elite.
I'm an English soccer fan, so maybe Harry can get me a scoop on how to get some Chelsea stuff on the cheap.
Is that Tony C asking for a Magnus show? That ain't happening.
No, not today.
Not ever.
Not ever. Speak. I see Naomi. Do you watch? You don't watch Total Divas, right?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I wanted to bring this up real quick. I was out to dinner with some female friends of mine on Friday night.
You didn't kill them, right?
No.
Okay.
Why would I kill them?
Because I know what you do with the. I gave you that body bag, and people talk. People have been talking. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
No, you've been talking.
No. People have been talking. Not just me.
No.
But anyway, all right. So you go out to dinner.
So I go out to dinner with some of my female friends, and one of them had some tickets to an art gallery because I'm cultured, unlike some of these beasts that listen to this show.
You're a dick.
And. So I was like, I can't go because it's WrestleMania weekend. And they all start bringing up how they've been watching the Total Divas show and how they've been, it's almost like a guilty pleasure for them. They've been bringing up like, oh, do you watch that show, you know, Divas? And they're like, yeah, I do. And they've been wrapped up in it. They've been caught up in it. But they know, which is hilarious because they're not wrestling fans, but they know that there's better shit out there. And one of them is like, can you recommend some stuff for me to watch? I want to see it. I want to see WrestleMania. And I'm throwing it out there to the fans. You know, what should I, what matches should I show my female friends who are curious about what real wrestling is all about?
They want to watch female wrestling?
Anything. Female wrestling, guy wrestling, everything.
Okay.
They're just curious about it. They want to see – they want to know why people get caught up in it. They want to know why I'm doing a show about pro wrestling. They want to know why wrestling has gotten to the level that it's at now and not just Hulk Hogan.
Well, you could break that down into era. You could do the Golden Era. You can do Attitude Era. You can do PG Era. I mean, there's a couple of matches in each that would definitely
– Yeah.
So we could do something. We could look into that.
I definitely want to send my friend the Warrior Savage match from WrestleMania 7.
Yeah?
Yeah. The career-ending match. I think that might be the one, but I'd like to hear what everybody else has to say. Maybe you got Virgil versus Million Dollar Man from SummerSlam.
Which 91. One? Who, me?
I'm just saying.
I have all the SummerSlams. I have everything.
Virgil versus the Million Dollar Man.
If you want, you're going to show her that?
Maybe I will.
Are you trying to get into this broad's pants?
No, she's married and she has a kid.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just saying, if you're trying to get into this broad's pants and you were going to show her that, then I would probably kick you off the show.
Because I mean, what if I got into her pants from that match?
Oh, well, then she's dumb. Not for sleeping with you, but she's dumb for thinking that match is fantastic.
I don't know about that. That was a great match.
I beg to differ. So
and she's a good friend of mine, so I want to show
her
the best.
I'm just putting it out there because you know what, dude? You know, you're not alone on this. You know, you have a reputation to uphold now. People people value, well, some people do anyway, they value your opinion.
Yeah.
They do.
They do, because I'm smart.
Well, I'm not saying you're not smart. I'm just saying there was some, you know, in some social circles, you are a smart wrestling fan. In some social circles, you're a racist fucking
Whoa, racist? No, yeah, I'm not a bigot.
Dude, come on, man. It's the
listen,
public.
I'm not like that big black idiot, Tony C. You know, I love all people of all races.
Man. Come on, now you gotta bring up old shit.
What? That's not old shit. Oh, it's fresh.
Yeah, fresh to death.
I love the Junkyard Dog and Ron Simmons. It was because of me we had Black History Month here on the Turnbuckle Throwback.
It was because of us, and I thought of that too, but it was the Virgil thing was all you.
It was all me. I carried that show, and it was great. Everybody loved it.
So, all right.
But, yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. My phone's blowing up. I apologize. There's a couple of bang-outs here for the WrestleMania party, so now people are, like, scrambling now. Who's coming? Who's not coming? Who's bringing what?
It's WrestleMania 30. Everybody should be here.
I know.
I threw it out there for the Shining Wizards to come down here, but they're seeing some stupid Mets game.
I thought Eddie was coming. He was supposed to come.
Mm.
So I don't know. Well, it's an open policy. Everybody who's in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area.
Did Tony see the Grand Wizard is not on the air? Ernie, what's his name? Ernie Roth is dead. He's not here tonight.
The Grand Wizard.
Yeah,
love the Grand Wizard. That was a good manager, man.
He was the premier manager of the WWWF.
That's one guy we didn't talk about, was the Paul Bearer thing about...
We didn't talk about that.
Totally forgot about that. I loved it.
So did I. His sons didn't have much to say. I started cracking up when I saw that other son of his. He didn't say anything.
Chewing gum. Two back.
Like the fucking cow. Looked like goddamn cow. But anyway, I'm not going to make fun of a man who's... celebrating the career of his father at the Hall of Fame.
I thought Taker coming out in character with the urn was fantastic.
Oh, that was the best part.
And he's never been on the award show ever.
I love how the dude is just that old school, that he doesn't do interviews, none of that, very rarely breaks character.
Yeah, he plays the character well, man. He does. He does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I think and Kane was right. He's arguably the best character they've ever had. And their feud was, their story was probably one of the best ever as well.
Yeah, I think somebody was saying that Taker gave it to Kane to possibly break the streak. I to be quite honest, I was never a big fan of those Kane Taker matches. I'll have to revisit them again.
No, but, the first when Paul Bearer made the turn.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
And enlisted guys like Vader and Mankind and Kane. I thought that was genius on their part. And I don't think it would have worked with any other guy but Paul Bearer. I'm glad they brought up the Percy Pringle stuff, because I thought Percy Pringle was a fantastic manager and world class. He had guys like the Missing Link down there and Rick Rude and... you're smiling. You look at the chat room?
Yeah. I'm looking at the chat room. You know, Tony C acting the fool on there. And he's stealing my words. I called him a buffoon. He's trying to call me a buffoon. That's an insult to me, sir.
Harry just got back from the pub. I love that, man. I loved when I love that culture, man. And like, I loved how the English guys talk and hang out.
They just drink all day.
They drink. It's awesome. And like, when you talk to guys like AJ Maggot from the Bloke Show, and they're like, their big word is cunt. They're like, I love that action. Like, we can't use that word a lot over here.
We're on the East Coast. We curse a lot. But
we do, though. No, we do. But that word in particular was a bad word. Like, you know.
It still is.
That's like, that's as derogatory to a woman as you legitimately calling some African-American person the N-word. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's how derogatory the C-word is.
Yeah.
But good for...
I wanted to ask you real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
Sorry to cut you off.
No,
but,
no.
You know, we're have our past in the punk scene, and Lita brought up punk.
I mentioned that on Facebook last night, that I spent my teens and most of my 20s doing the New York hardcore scene, and I thought that was a tribute to all of us. We were a part of something big in the late 80s to the mid-90s. Me anyway, because I'm a little older than you are.
I had to jump in the 90s.
You had to jump in the 90s, but that's fine. And I was more of a punk, a hardcore guy than a punk guy.
I'm more of a punk guy.
I know. Yeah. But I've been to like at least 200 punk shows. That's not an issue.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of punk shows. And what was great with the New York hardcore guys, they were all hip-hop fans too.
Yeah.
And we all...
That was in their hood.
In Enable, we all grew up like Lower East Side, North Brooklyn, Jersey guys. We were all hip-hop fans. And anything like... if anybody who knows me personally knows I'm a big connoisseur of old-school hip-hop. Anything from like 83 to like 1995, I'm pretty much good with. I mean, I like stuff afterwards, but I love old school hip hop and punk and hardcore and really old school R&B. I grew up on a lot of that, but I like the fact that Lita gave it up to that. Because a lot of those guys are wrestling fans.
Yeah, I was really impressed and kind of almost shocked to a degree. You know, CM Punk had Lars from Rancid at WrestleMania a few years ago, and he was on Punk's Blu-ray, and you posted the stuff with H2O. You know,
again yesterday.
And Rancid was the group that got me into punk, and you know, I got into bands like Bad Religion, Exploited. Casualties, what else? One Way System, Blitz, one of my favorites, Social Distortion. Happy birthday, Mike Ness. Had his birthday a few days ago. He's my favorite, my tops. And I thought that was cool. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the people in the punk scene, but, you know, I went to CB's just as you. And here's a little story for you. I had a friend who was extremely tight with Roger from Agnostic Front.
Go see him in May.
And she took me on the first Misfits Fiend Fest years ago, and we were just kind of hopping from town to town a bit, and this dude hated my guts because I was hanging out with her, and this was like his sister. And he's like, who the fuck is this guy?
You know,
I think I was like 17 or 18. I'm like, oh my God, I own this guy's records. Fucking Roger from Agnostic Front, fucking pioneer of New York hardcore, and the guy hates me. And it didn't take too long, but was it? I went to see Rancid at CB's. It was like a secret show for, well, not that secret, because it was a K-Rock show.
No, Jesus.
Rancid had their Indestructible album. And they were doing a show at CB's for 92 cents a ticket because it was
92.3. Yeah, I remember those shows.
And, you know, I was lucky enough to get a ticket, and I got in there, and we lock eyes. And he actually came up to me. He's like, hey, how you doing, man? And I'm like, oh, just a weight came off of my chest. I was like, finally, I got this man's respect. But what a guy to have his fucking respect, fucking Roger of Agnostic.
I had Thanksgiving dinner with Roger's brother, Freddie, who's the lead singer of Madball, and I was dating the bass player's sister, and had Thanksgiving dinner with them, and met Toby from H2O, all those guys. And I'll give you a quick hardcore story. I think I told you this off the air. I was going to Coney Island High, which is a club down in off of Houston Street.
I was there not too long. I went to one of the last shows before it closed down.
I went to go see Sick of It All. Anybody who's a New York hardcore fan or punk fan, if you never heard of Sick of It All, you guys need to look that shit up. No, those guys are huge hip-hop fans, too. Matter of fact, they had KRS-One on their album back in 1988. And if you don't know who KRS-One is, don't even listen anymore on my podcast.
Got to see them live, too.
Yes, Harry, the show will be on the SWN download, and I'm hoping AA puts our feeds up on the rant as well, or just type in my name. All right. Will's in there. Mr. Will I Am Morgan, the Wrestling Call-In Show. What's up there, Big Willie?
Big Willie style.
So anyway, I'm going to see Sick of It All, and the club isn't that big.
No.
But the place is loaded to the balls because it was like one of them $5 shows. And Sick of It All played, you know, they do the circuit.
It's like a matinee show.
It was a matinee show. And I wish my buddy Fi was here from Caught in the Trap because he was also at the show. He just put out a new album. It's over here. I got to make a copy for Dave. He'd love it, actually, if Dave likes punk and hardcore. So we didn't know who the opening act was. And we were like, oh, man, I hope it's not somebody, you know,
some shitty
fucking punk band from like Oregon or something
that got all their friends to come to the show.
But it wasn't. It was the fucking Beastie Boys.
Whoa.
And they did a full set, like Egg Raid on Mojo, and they did, you know, Looking Down a Barrel. I mean, they did like a whole bunch of punk songs. Like, you know, they did stuff from In Your Head or Check Your Head. It was really, really good stuff.
Damn, I wish I was there.
Yeah, but you know, again, but these New York hardcore guys, these punk guys, I love me some Boogie Down Productions, man. I got, if you guys are hip-hop fans, if you like BDP, he put out, back in like the late 80s, early 90s, there was a live album. I'm a big live music person when it comes to collecting music, too. It's called The Blueprint, I believe. You can probably get it on iTunes, or I probably have it. I'll upload it to somebody if they need it. But The Blueprint was a really good live hip-hop album. I saw those guys at a place called Home Base in East New York, Brooklyn, back in the day. I saw them. I saw Lord Finesse, Lords of the Underground. I saw Wu-Tang Clan. I saw Biggie Smalls. I saw Jay-Z. I saw all those guys. It was a good time to be... I love the Beasties.
Yeah. But I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, we're both, we don't talk about it too much.
No, we don't. And the connection with punk rock and hardcore music
and pro wrestling.
And pro wrestling is huge. Very huge. And yeah. And Scott, Kid Human in the room, Scott knows of my band back in the day, played with a bunch of other bands too. We opened up for guys like No Redeeming Social Value.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up for Hatebreed, the Mighty Hatebreed, if you know them, they're big now. We opened for Propane and some other bands we opened for. I'm not pissed that you turned down the Black Sabbath to watch this, the Raceway. I turned down Black Sabbath on Monday because I had to pay my fucking mortgage. So we all have to make sacrifices, man. Being a grown-up is not an easy task.
It's about what are you willing to give up now.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So... yeah, that connection with music and hardcore. And speaking of music, and I'm kind of pissed that the Freebirds didn't get in again.
Hey man, there's plenty of WrestleManias to come. As Warriors, I know, said, but there's gonna be a WrestleMania 75.
It would have made perfect sense this year because I turned down Black Sabbath because I didn't have enough money to go, and I've seen Black Sabbath 3 or 4 times, and I've seen Ozzy Osbourne 15 times since 1992. So I'm good with them, and they're my favorite band of all time. All right,
hey, man.
But Freebird started in the Mid-South. They were the first band to use rock and roll music, the first wrestling group to use rock and roll music, I should say.
Yeah.
And they were pioneers. And now that Michael Hayes works behind the scenes for so long, I thought he'd get his due. So I'm a little pissed off about that. I'm not going to lie to you.
What was up with him wearing that Willie Dynamite fucking pimp suit?
Dude, he pimps it every year. Don't get it twisted. He gets it. He does that every single year.
Looking like Dolemite at the show.
Love me some Dolemite. That's the film festival you guys got to get with, man.
Blaxploitation film
dude,
festival?
Oh. Are you kidding me, bro? You got to see that.
I've been watching Dolemite since junior high.
Dude, Foxy Brown, fucking
I'm well versed.
Oh, dude, that's some good shit.
There's one of my favorite films, Brotherhood of Death, one of my favorite blaxploitation movies. I'm a big Blackula fan, even though Tony C was trying to call me racist.
Yeah, because you know, Blackula was.
He's like, why does Blackula got to scream? That's
dude,
the name
Channel,
of the movie.
Channel 11 and Channel 9 locally here back in the day would show. All those. Yeah, well, you know about Dolemite.
Yeah, Rudy Ray Moore.
Dude, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, brother. All that stuff was in syndication.
Listen.
I caught all of that, man. I got Bobby Womack and Isaac Hayes on...
Truck Turner?
On the shuffle on my iPod, man. You kidding me? My iPod is a plethora of goodness when it comes to black exploitation movies.
And what was I going to say? Actually, at home, I have on vinyl... first of all, I got Rudy Ray Moore on Norton Records, like his when he was a performer, just a singer.
Yeah.
Before he was doing comedy and all that kind of stuff. I got the double LP on that.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And I got his first comedy album, which I think is called Eat Out More Often. Where, I don't know, like he's got some like some ghetto ass covers. It's always like him buck ass naked with a bunch of chicks.
I got the only like R&B I have on vinyl is I got Bobby Womack on vinyl. I got Isaac Hayes on vinyl, and I have Marvin Gaye, The Trouble Man on vinyl.
All I got to say is if you love soul, old school soul and R&B, you got to check out this artist now. I think he's like 65 now. Only put out his first album a few years ago. My favorite, Charles Bradley.
Charles Bradley played so many shows locally that I saw him at the Blue Note on West 4th Street down by in the West Village back in like 1992.
Hmm.
He played a set. Like that's the one and only time I saw him. I saw him in the Blue Note back in like fucking 92, 93. So, and if you know Dave's got Dave's tight with those guys now, huh? You tight with them? You got you hang out when you go to shows, take pictures with them, and
he's always out there. So
he's always out there.
He mixes
man.
It with everybody. I've seen him live like I don't know like three times.
Yeah,
times.
No, those guys are, you know.
Charles Bradley remembers me, so that's awesome.
That's awesome when they remember you. Like when I opened, like it, the best for me was, I believe it was the 1 year I did not go to Ozfest. It was 2004 or 2005, and our buddy Will where is he? The tattoo. I'm sorry, my best friend. He's on Tattoos and Touchdowns with Chris Espo, and Will went to see Ozfest. He went to get Hatebreed's autograph and. He went online. He was telling him, like, oh, he goes, you, he like, my best friend name drops you guys all the time, and he says he opened for you guys, and I keep calling shenanigans, and they mentioned me. He's like, oh, we know Big Phil from Chaos Groove, and Will was, like, beside himself. Like, you know. So I said, see, man, I told you I know those cats, you know. So it's cool that they know people, and, I mean, it's nice, man. It really is. And that's why I loved going to indie shows back in the day at wrestling and hardcore shows, because it was that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Everybody knew each other. Everybody saw each other. It was great going to hardcore shows and seeing dudes at the wrestling matches, too. Like, they weren't ashamed to be wrestling fans.
Yeah. Some people are. Actually, what was it? Uptown Georgie just sent a message to mention Disco Godfather. That was probably my least favorite Rudy Ray Moore movie, but because he was trying to play it serious, but at the same time, it was pretty hilarious. Like, what was that one line that... dude from Black Dynamite, Michael Jai White. I got those soundtracks on vinyl, too.
Tony C. just dropped a whole bunch of names.
Gap Band.
Gap, which I just told you. I think the Gap Band. Look, the Gap Band's sitting right here in front of Dave.
Yeah, it's right there.
It's sitting right there. I have all that stuff. I have the Gap Band. I have the OJs. I have all that stuff.
But you cut me off when I was talking about Disco.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say the line because I thought it was hilarious. Because I was listening to this was a while back. I was listening to the commentary on the Black Dynamite soundtrack, not soundtrack, the movie, and Michael Jai White brings up, one of the scenes, and he's talking about Disco Godfather. I really don't like that movie because it. For me, it sucked because he was trying to be serious in this movie. But there's one line that he brings up, and it was hilarious. And that Rudy Ray Moore said in Disco Godfather, and he's like, "Where is Bucky, and what had he done?"
No, it's
that man's delivery was always on point. Or meet me at the Total Experience in 1/2 hour.
I loved the OJs.
Kool-Aid in the gang. That's probably that's what Tony C listens to. Grape Kool-Aid in the gang. Great. In the gang.
That's awesome. See, dude, you're straight up racist.
No, I'm not racist. That's what Tony C said.
Tony C said you're racist.
Yeah, because it takes one to know one, right? And I'm not one, but Tony C is.
No more yard bird, man. We know the rule. All right. So,
let's get back to wrestling.
Yeah, man.
Hour two right now.
Yeah, Dave and I didn't have really a bunch. We didn't have a format. We knew we wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame. We wanted to get our WrestleMania picks, and we knew we wanted to announce the winner of the Rebook the Streak.
So we wanted to get Tony C ousted from podcasting for life.
And waiting for the boss to call in so we can get that going.
But, let's talk about WrestleMania. Let's go down the matches, and let's ask people what they think, what their predictions are.
3 hours and 55 minutes to go.
T-minus 355.
That's right. All right, so. What the hell? Is that your phone or my phone?
Yeah, that's mine.
Blowing up like the World Trade. All right, so, of course, the World Heavyweight Championship match, Randy Orton versus Batista versus the winner of Daniel Bryan and Triple H. Of course, obviously, Daniel Bryan, Triple H. Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. You want to pick the winners? Or you just want to go through the matches first?
Yeah, let's go through the matches. Let's start at, whatever, the shittiest matches and build up from there.
All right, so your pre-show, which you know my disdain about this, is the tag team title match. The Usos defending against Rybacksel, the Real Americans, and Los Matadores. You got the...
That's actually, this is on Mania.
Now this is Mania. The Shield and Kane versus, Shield versus Corporate Kane and New Age Outlaws.
I would hope that's on Mania. Shit.
the 30-man over-the-top rope Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
With three to be unannounced.
I'm hearing Rob Van Dam is one of the guys that are one of the three entries left. So hopefully that comes to pass. The entire Divas roster against AJ Lee. We mentioned the title match. We mentioned Triple H and Daniel Bryan. Brock and Taker. Bray Wyatt and John Cena. All right, so let's start with the pre-show, Dave. Who's gonna win the tag team title match?
Usos.
Usos will retain. I'm picking the Usos.
Yeah, they've just been building these guys up. They have to live up to the hype. The only thing I could really, if the Usos are not going over, it's got to be the Real Americans. But it just seems like they're going to be breaking up sometime soon, which I think should happen just because Cesaro is. He's getting momentum right now, and to have somebody like Jack Swagger, who, in my opinion, the dude's old news.
All right,
you can't have that dead weight on your back.
Steve Austin is booked for WrestleMania as well, just to let everybody know.
Hell yeah!
All right,
Beat Deborah.
Hell yeah! The Shield versus Corporate Kane, the New Age Outlaws. I picking the Shield.
Yeah, I'm going to be picking the Shield, too, even though it seems like they're trying to break them up. But
not with the momentum. Now, they were going to at one point. We thought Roman Reigns had a little bit of a run there with the Royal Rumble.
I think it's just too early to have that dude out on his own.
Yeah, you got
to
get Dean Ambrose some title matches, too. He's held that belt for so long with doing dick with it.
Yeah.
So,
But I think with Reigns, you know, he's getting a lot of hype right now, but... First of all, the dude he's not really on the mic that much. I think it's just a lot of hype from the internet and all that kind of stuff, especially after the Rumble. I know they want to build up some momentum with this guy, but he still needs some time. He's still new.
I agree. All right. Who wins the Battle Royal?
Sting.
So is Sting going to be one of the entries? Sting, Rob Van Dam, and who else?
Zeus.
I don't know. This is a tough to call because
I'm taking the Big Show.
Unless CM Punk is in the Battle Royal. But I can't see him.
I
can't see them putting him in there. No. If anything, if he does come up,
he'll be in the title match.
In the title
stuff.
Scene. Yeah.
I like Big Show winning. I think Rob Van Dam makes a return tonight. Maybe Darren Young and Titus O'Neil already in it. I don't know who else on the roster's left. You know, maybe
I'm gonna pick a wild card just for the sake of being different. I'm gonna go for my man Dolph Ziggler.
You picking Ziggles?
Ziggles.
Okay,
yeah.
I like to see him win it. I'm picking Big Show, but they may even make Big E. Like, you know, if Big Show doesn't do it, I'm taking Big E.
Yeah, he's my third option.
All right, so we're all
Ziggles, Big Show, Big E.
All right, so we know AJ Lee's dropping a belt tonight.
I don't know.
Come on, dude, she's not beating 13 other combatants. I'm picking Tamina Snuka to win the title tonight.
I'm picking AJ.
You picking AJ to retain?
I'm saying she's retaining, yeah.
Okay. In some kind of swerve?
I think it'll come down to her and Tamina, but that belt is staying with her.
All right. Okay. I'm picking Tamina Snuka. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's the big deal. Batista versus Randy Orton versus the winner of D-Bry and Triple H.
Well, should we go into the D-Bry?
All right, so it's Daniel. Triple H. So we're both in agreement that Triple H is going to put Daniel Bryan over.
I don't know.
I wish you guys could see Dave's face.
I don't know. Part of me feels like there's going to be some sort of huge swerve, something that's going to be not foreseen happening, either, you know, in the D-Bryan match with Triple H or in the triple threat match. Part of me feels like something like, you know, it's a part of me that doesn't want to agree with Tony C. Part of me feels like Triple H might be in that triple threat.
Okay.
In the match between the three men. I don't know. So I feel like there's going to be a huge swerve. I can't say what it is or what it's going to be, but I feel Daniel Bryan will get his moment, but I don't know how.
All right, that's fair. So who wins the match?
Batista.
Batista? Okay. So I'm picking Triple H to put Daniel Bryan over, to put Daniel Bryan in the match.
Uh-huh.
And I am picking a corporate swerve. Is it a corporate swerve, I guess? Somebody's going to have to come in and prevent Daniel Bryan from winning the title.
Yeah, something's got to happen because it can't be so cut and dry where it's just like, okay, Daniel Bryan gets into his match and then he wins the world championship. I don't think it's going to be that cut and dry. There's going to be some obstacles besides just having that match with Triple H.
Ideally, I want CM Punk to come in and screw Daniel Bryan.
Or screw Triple H.
Or screw Triple H and Batista.
I think it would be stupid if CM Punk is, with the Authority or anything like that, because the whole point of him leaving was because he was fed up.
Well, you could bring him back, and I've said this before, you could bring him back at that capacity where Triple H said, you know what? I want you to be the face of the company. I'm glad you see things my way now. I'm glad you take the high road and you brought your ball back to the game. Or he could be the renegade Punk like we all know and love. And he could put himself over like that.
Or he says that he's with Triple H and the Authority, and then he swerves him to help D. Bryan.
Maybe he screws D. Bryan and then screws Triple H in a main event.
Yeah.
How about that? So we know that the title's changing hands tonight. I think Batista's going to be the winner of the belt, but he won't be the focus of the match.
No.
Is that fair?
Part of me thinks Dean Bryan's going to get his world championship, but like in Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 9 style, like I said a few weeks ago.
All right, so you're picking Bryan for the win.
Somehow, some way, he's going to win.
All right, I'm going to go with Batista.
Batista, yep, is my second choice.
Okay. Okay.
Because he walks alone in this pit of danger.
I walk alone. All right, and that's pretty much your WrestleMania card.
Oh, we didn't go over.
Oh, we didn't do Brock and Taker.
We didn't do Brock and Taker. We didn't do Cena and
Bray
Wyatt.
Okay, so let's do Bray Wyatt and Cena first. Here is. You want to go first? Go ahead.
Cena.
You taking Cena?
Yeah. This is a breakout moment for Wyatt, but
Okay.
I don't know. Part of me feels like Cena's just gonna, have it his way anyway.
I'm gonna go with Bray Wyatt. I think Cena at this stage, Cena's done this before. He's put guys over
needs
WrestleMania.
To step down, yeah.
He's not going
to
step down. I mean, he's still the face of the company, but this is an opportunity for Cena in his character to put the hotter guy over at the time. And he did it with The Miz.
Uh-huh.
He did it with The Miz. He did it with a couple other guys. There'll be 5 or 10 more manias for him.
Uh-huh.
He's
gonna be around for a long time.
Yeah, I think
unfortunately.
I think the Wyatts are about to break out, I should say.
Yeah, break out.
So I'm looking for Bray Wyatt for the win.
I feel if Bray Wyatt doesn't win tonight, he's still gonna be hot. The Wyatt family is gonna be hot irregardless.
I'm just thinking of the day. I'm thinking it's WrestleMania. Put the guy over. Take one for the team. And let's carry out the task of WrestleMania and build on that.
Let's say this. So, I want Bray Wyatt. That's my personal choice to win. But I feel like Cena might come out with the victory because, it doesn't matter who's going to win or lose in this match. Both guys are going to continue on the path that they're on. And, Cena can, win the battle, but the Wyatts can win the war.
All right. And finally, the streak. Match number 22 in the illustrious career of The Undertaker, of the Dead Man, puts the streak on the line against Brock Lesnar.
This is going to be the false finish match of the night.
This will be probably the match of the night.
Yeah.
Unless,
I don't know.
Cena adds 12 more moves to his repertoire, because Wyatt can go.
Yeah, Wyatt can go.
So... And I'm not.
He's come a long way, I'll say that, especially since that shitty match with Kane at SummerSlam, was it, right?
Right.
That was awful. But, he's developed himself significantly since then. But I'll say this. Part of me is actually looking forward more to the world title picture than the streak.
Right. I'm not.
Just because the streak at this point, and, I've been listening to a lot of the Podcast One podcast with Austin and JR and. Jericho, and it just seems kind of like common knowledge between these guys that the streak ain't going nowhere. It's a big money thing for every WrestleMania. I don't think it's going to be going away until Taker's ready to retire.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I feel, we all know Undertaker's going to win, so part of me is kind of feeling a little jilted from that. I'm still going to look forward to the match because we all know it's going to be great. Just a bit of me is perturbed by the fact that, we all know Undertaker's going to win.
I'm not perturbed anymore. I just hope that he performs at the same level he's been the last couple of years.
I agree, yeah.
That's my concern. We know he's going to win. It's obvious.
We just want a great match.
Yeah. That's it. And don't put it in a Hell in a Cell, which is cool. Don't let him just go old school.
But they didn't really use the cell.
They don't, but that's what bothers me.
Yeah, why put it
Why put a cage up when you're only wrestling once a year? Cage matches
And they were in the ring for the most part.
Cage matches are ideally used for a build-up to a bigger feud.
It's a weapon, too, so, and they weren't using that
They weren't utilizing the weapon at all. That's correct.
Yeah.
I'm taking Taker for the win. I really hope Brock puts cements his shoes and doesn't get paid on a per diem basis. I want to see him on the roster full time. If he's not going to be a mixed martial artist, he could contribute.
Yeah.
All he needs is a mouthpiece and somebody to work with. He's not a bad worker.
Yeah.
His stuff with Cena last year was fantastic.
Yeah.
That over the top, that Extreme Rules match they had.
I didn't get to see that.
It's on the network. Maybe we'll watch it later on before Mania.
I need to just – I wish I had, a remote control to just pause the world and, just watch everything that's on the network.
I know. It's
– and then do a few crimes and stuff like that while everybody's frozen. And then once I'm good and ready, press that play button and get back into motion.
So that's your WrestleMania card, kids, from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's, cut and dry. Again, I mentioned this last week on the show that I was pissed off that they had, only 7 matches, 8 total, which means, certain matches are going to have to go at least 20 or 30 minutes, including the Battle Royal, including Brock and Taker and the Divas roster versus fucking AJ
Lee.
I'll say this.
I'm very hyped up for this WrestleMania. I'm excited for it, even for the Divas match. Like I said, my friends are getting into wrestling. They were intrigued by it through the stupid Divas show, even though I've never seen an episode. Yeah. I think it's a really exciting time. WrestleMania 30 is a big deal. I forgot who said it. It was on one of the Austin shows, but Vince has a big thing for the round numbers, and I feel WrestleMania 30 is going to be special. It's going to live up to the hype of WrestleMania. Let's hope that it's one of the 5 WrestleManias that were truly phenomenal, and it's going to be a special night.
I want our fans of the show and I want our fans of the networks that we're a part of to take a little bit of what Dave just said and let that marinate for a second. What I'm meaning is that, look for the obvious if you're a smart wrestling fan, but try to be entertained.
Be open to it.
Yeah, because you know what? You're not going to get everything you want. Like the Stones always said, you can't always get what you want, but if you find sometimes, you get what you need.
Yes.
We need this. The network is now live and direct. Like Dave mentioned, 30 is shaping up to be something special with the participants involved. You have Hogan back in the fold. You have Austin making an appearance tonight in some capacity. And you might possibly have the return of one of the best guys in the business in the last 5 to 8 years besides
Sting.
Sting. I was mentioning CM Punk, but listen, if you get Sting, if you get Austin, if you get Punk, bonus. If you don't.
Yeah, Punk is the wild card for tonight.
If you don't, you still have
the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, you still have that. You still have quality. And as vanilla as Randy Orton is.
Yo, Axel just called Tony C the N-word. or use the abbreviation for
it. Oh, boy.
But as you were saying.
I'm not even touching that. By the way, Axel Foley has one of the best names. I respect that guys have these nicknames on the network. Like our boss has one, and you know, Rage and the Surfer. I just, you know.
And Tony Schiavone.
Well, no, Tony C's. I know Tony's last name, but, like, I remember doing a Man Cave show, and we had my buddy George, and he, on his show, he was G-Money. Mm. So I invited him to last year's WrestleMania party, and he introduced himself as G-Money to, like, my friends' wives and shit like that. And I was almost embarrassed. And I love Georgie to death, but my friend's wife walked up to me, and she goes, did he just introduce himself to me as G-Money?
Mm.
And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. So we'll get everybody's real name eventually.
At least he's being humble.
Yeah. But, again, like I was saying before, take this in. It's going to be a great time. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
The indies are back. All these podcasts and these internet radio shows are blowing up now. You have all these different opinions. And it's just a fun – Will's got – you're Will.i.am Morgan. I've been calling you that for a month. So I like Will.i.am Morgan. That's a statement when Will tells you – it's a wrestling call-in show. It's Will.i.am Morgan. That's right. He is the wrestling call-in show.
Let me just say something to
big fan of the wrestling call-in show, actually. Shout out to all those guys.
Let me just say something to Axel in the chat room. He's addressing me, saying that, you know, he's not using it in a derogatory manner. Anytime it's involved with Tony C, even just saying the T word is a derogatory.
See, when I go back home to Brooklyn, I'm still the N word to everybody out there. Like, what's up? And you know, it's commonplace there. It's just, you know, I've learned that you can't. It's a touchy topic. You know, the N word, religion, and politics are really bad on the internet. So I stay away from all that shit.
Yeah. And bringing up Lex Luger and Sting as the greatest tag team of all time is pretty derogatory in my book.
Yeah. Well,
I'm,
you know,
offended
what?
By that.
This summer we're gonna address a lot of that tag team nonsense because, you know, I'm a big tag team mark. I guess is the word.
Surfer just said, "Don't call anyone a nerd."
Don't call anybody a nerd or a mark around here.
Yeah, Tony C is definitely a big nerd, amongst other things.
But you know what? It's a big time. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. We're part of these awesome networks, and we'll plug them at the end of the show.
Yeah, let me just say this. You know, even if you're guys like Shining Wizards Eddie, down on the world all the time, you know, it's Sunday. Even if it is going to be a shitty Mania, just enjoy the fact that you're watching wrestling on a Sunday, and this is you have to chill with the boys or eat chicken alone like Harry is going to be doing in the UK.
Yeah, Will, I've been calling you that for a month, dude. If you listen to my show, then you would know that, Mr. Will I Am Morgan with the Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday night at 11 p.m. on a rant. All right, good calling. All right, no problem. Thank you, AA. I love Skype. All right, now, we'll wait for AA and then we'll wrap this up. Anything else tickling your tits that you want to talk about before we get things going?
No, that's really about it. I just want to say thank you to Eric for sending me the Warrior DVD. Blu-ray.
I want your review on that when you get it. I'm almost done with the first disc. You'll like it.
I'm hyped for it. I've seen most of those matches. One match that I'm really looking forward to is the cage match between him and the Macho King.
Yeah, I've
seen that a bunch of times.
I'm kind of disappointed, man. I wanted to show you that today because I had gotten it on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, because that happened right after the Rumble, like the day after the Rumble.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
I was kind of surprised that there was a house show on a Monday night.
Dude, they got a – I'm not going to tell – well, do you remember the title for title in the Boston Garden, him and Savage?
Yeah, back in the day. I've seen that.
Oh, dude, it's on a DVD.
Oh, because I've seen that version. I've seen they had the same match in the Garden. Yeah. And
I was at the Garden one.
Because I thought it was funny, and I did this, I think, a while back on my not-so-secret group, the Studplexes. But there was
But that one, was a secret.
Not anymore. The secret's out.
Oh, shit. You can tell me. All right.
But there was one day that I found all these Warrior versus Rude matches where it was when Rude was the Intercontinental Champion. They were building up for SummerSlam.
Right.
And I found all these matches that they were having. AA's on the line.
Yeah, so. I'm sorry. No, finish your thought. We'll get AA on in a second.
But what's it called? It was awesome, even though it was like the same match, you know, all over the country. They were building up so they could record it, you know, on, you know, Superstars or Challenge.
Right.
So it was awesome just seeing these guys, you know, develop their craft and you know, work out that match for television.
They always put him with good guys.
Yeah.
Like Rude, Savage, Race. All those guys were decent workers. And Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, joining us on the line is the man in charge, Mr. Double A.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, sir?
I am doing peachy. It's WrestleMania Sunday. I'm going to turn down the Wonder Years that's on in the background. I'm peachy. I'm running around all over the place.
Yeah,
today.
So was I before, prepping for my little get together and getting everything ready. This is a big weekend for you, man. You have now some awesome programming. I mean, you already had awesome programming, but now you added us to the fold. You got Lex on the Express now.
This is my seventh year doing this WrestleMania business, and each year it gets bigger, it gets a little bit more complicated, gets, you know, the technical issues is always the problem,
and the Tony C issues.
Well, we're going to talk about
fire
that.
Him soon today.
Anyway, but yeah, man, so this is your seventh year. We're excited. All the programming has been top-notch so far, We want to thank you for having us on, and this is a real treat for us to be doing this in the middle of the day.
And I'm glad that you guys are on. I'm glad that all the shows have been knocking them out of the park here since Friday. Even though I wasn't around on Friday, for the epic fun show that aired on Friday.
Just having a gentleman's debate.
Yeah, I missed about almost 3 hours of that, and I jumped on at the tail end because I couldn't. I logged in and I was like, oh my.
Yeah, I mean, coming home, I came home about 1:15 on Friday morning thinking, you know, that all was well in the world. And little did I know that they were still on the air. I was like, what? And not that I care, by the way, because, you know, they could have been on until 4 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, you know, I'm glad that everybody's enjoying themselves, the listeners, the people in the chat room.
I'm not enjoying myself. I'm having the problems with that bozo, Tony C.
Well, talk about that.
I'm ready for you to fire him.
All right, let's address
him.
All right, so Double A asked for the floor, and, you know, we told him to call in, and he now he wants the floor. So, sir, let's...
Time to extract that
Will you
cancer.
Let him have what? The floor, please?
So here's what's going on, and the my Facebook noises are going off in the background, so I apologize. But so this is you know, I was made aware of the situation Thursday morning of the chaos that's going on between Tony C and Mega Powers, and I feel that, you know, the rant's going to start in 30 minutes, so in 30 minutes I'll go back to wearing my basketball shorts and T-shirts, but right now I'm dressed in a suit a la Jack Tunney and J.J. Dillon, because I am going to put an end to this rivalry to an extent. We're going to go old school right now, because I feel that things have gotten out of hand. I feel feelings have been hurt. Things have been said that, you know, quite frankly, can't be taken back. And I think we're going to put in a ban that Tony C and Mega Powers have to stay away from each other.
What?
For a period of time. And this is what's going to happen. The only contact that these two will have will be on their respective shows, and you will comment on anything that Tony C says on the rant, and Tony C will comment on anything that will be said on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And how we're going to resolve this issue, that sometime this coming May, I believe the first week, second week, something like that, we are going to have a special where Tony C and Mega Powers are going to have the battles of all battles. They're going to lay it all out on the table.
They're going to hook him up.
This is going to be a cage match a la 1987.
Yes!
Still meant something.
That's right.
But we can't. The thing is, it's not like we can do this tomorrow, because then there's no build. So the reason why we're doing this in May, so that there's ample time, so that both parties can say as much disparaging things as they want to each other, but there be no incident. Just like when Kevin Nash had to fight the Giant in 1998, Kevin Nash couldn't touch the Giant, so what did he do? He threw coffee in his face, and the Giant destroyed the ring to, you know, air out his frustrations. Same thing. Can't touch each other. No contact. So Tony C will not be on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Mega Powers will not be on the rant until the big showdown.
This is an outrage.
Well, this is,
I don't like this.
Well,
this
is the point. I thought about.
Wait,
I took,
what happens
I took
if under, we cross the line?
I took it under advisement.
Because we know Tony C has no control.
I took it under.
He has no shame either.
Will you let the man finish?
Of issuing a fine, but I felt that there was no fine big enough that would have.
And Tony C can't afford it.
Levied, it would not have calmed him down enough. I mean, Macho Man got fined $50,000 when he knocked out one of the referees, and then he knocked out the guy who issued the fine. So, I think we're gonna just, and if there's any altercation, then there'll be hell to pay at that point.
Oh, hell to pay.
So there you have it. So nobody's allowed each other's shows until the showdown. We'll come up with a date. AA and I will come up with a date.
Sometime in May.
And our two combatants will come out and they'll hash it out, cage match style. This is like David Crockett type stuff going on right now.
And now there's a question in the chat room. What about the Facebook pages? I'm going to allow the Facebook pages until it gets out of hand, because then additional bans may have to be put in place.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks.
Better tell Tony C not to get racist on my page.
Anyway.
Call me one of the before Klansmen, huh?
Before Klansmen, yeah. He told you to put your hood down.
We'll see about that. Well, I'm going to knock his Kool-Aid down on the ground.
All right. So, with that being
said, I'm going to step all over his candied yams that he's having for WrestleMania dinner tonight.
I love candy. Well, anyway, but all joking aside, this is it. The boss has laid down the law. Mega Powers cannot come on the rant. Tony C will not be on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks until this gets resolved.
I got to say is I got a counter for Tony C's big move, the pig knuckle shuffle.
The pig knuckle shuffle. All right, yeah. Well, you can hold on to your move until the showdown. All right there, Cha-Cha? All right. All right. Double A, I think this is fair. And I appreciate you stepping in.
It's not fair.
I think it's fair. I think you.
Both parties. I knew that not just Mega Powers, but I knew that Tony C would have an issue with this. Also, he has yet to air his grievances, but I have a feeling that in about 25 minutes' time, he will be airing his grievances with me. The new phrase in 2014. Just deal with it.
Let's deal with it.
You know what? I will say this. You know, luckily there are some ramifications to keep Tony C under control. You know, he's offending our fans. He's offending me. I know his intelligence has been offended too. But, everything's going to work out because I'm going to come out on top. As always.
So there you go.
All right. So there you have it. The boss has laid down the law. That's it. It's his show. It's his network.
That's the Jack Tunney ruling, okay? Because J.J. Dillon was a little bit more lenient than Jack Tunney.
Well, this is like David Crockett, Dusty Rhodes, Midnight Rider type stuff, man. Yeah. Dusty couldn't come in.
And by the way, I am not on the take.
Nah, all right. Well,
Tony C.
Yeah, Tony C accused you of being on the take. So.
I didn't bribe AA for this.
No, this is straight up. This is
He's doing his best to be fair. You know, this is his network.
Double A messaged me. He said, I'm bringing this to a head. I'll be calling in on your show, and I will be addressing it. And I said, okay. And that's what's going down now. So there you have it.
There you have it.
And, I'm sure both parties can come up with a truce because, in all fairness, we're all adults here. We're all grown folk, as they say around the way. And I think we can come up with a suitable solution for all the hosts to share a network and be good on each other's shows.
I don't know about that. Tony C is going to be Tony C regardless.
Well, again, maybe now Tony.
You know, I'm a gentleman. I'm a scholar.
You're a scholar?
Yeah, I went to college.
I forgot about you. All right.
You know, I didn't take that online course like Tony C did. About it.
Anyway, moving right along. So, all right, Double A, thank you very much for coming on and squaring that away with us.
No problem. I will talk to you guys later, and hopefully you guys are more than welcome to join us on the post-show hopefully there won't be any incidences again with, you know, with the Warrior that, you know, we won't be able to get on the air till 1 o'clock in the morning. But anyways, I'll see you guys later tonight.
Thank you, Double A.
Thank you, Double A, for being fair.
We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, somewhat.
Talk to you later.
All right.
All right, boss. Take care.
I'm not all happy with that, but, you know, as long as it keeps Tony C off of our great show, not wasting our time's fans and offending them, you know, with his hypocritical, racist comments, you know, I'm fine with that.
So.
And he better not try to come on my show, you know, one way or the other. And, yes, I was on Warrior University. I'm one of the few guys who could actually say I graduated Warrior University.
So Dave has the power of the Warriors behind him. Tony C, obviously our resident Hulkamaniac.
He's just a maniac. That's all he is.
Right, and that's the bottom line because Double A said so, man. That's it. Double A's laying the law. This is his network. He pays the bills. He puts us on, as they say around the way.
Wait a second. Tony C's saying that I went to Clan U.
No, that's war.
That's racist right there. He better watch out. I might, you know, put a big old T on his front yard for time to leave and light that shit up on fire so he knows it's time to go.
Right. So.
And I'm not racist.
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying some social circles, yeah, you are a racist. So
I didn't call you racist.
I don't think you're a racist.
You know, Matt Bowman. Who else? Daniel, that Mexican spick. Daniel Lopez.
See, now this is why people
call you. That's not racist.
But
anyway,
this is why people call you a racist.
There was an audio error. I said spectacular. Anyway.
Come on, man.
You know, Lopez. And who's that other bozo, that drunk Mike Norenganger, Donger? I apologize for saying it the wrong way. Anyway, you know, the alliance to end the mega powers, mega mania, you know, all those guys want to say that I'm racist. You know, don't, you know, listen to their shows. Listen to all the racism going on there. You know, that racist interview with Chico Santana, you know, bringing up all that bad stuff that Ventura was saying, you know, calling him Chico and the Tijuana taco salesman, you know, all that stuff is racist. You know, we have a good, wholesome show here. We love all the races. We have Black History Month. Good times.
Yeah, services, come on, hug it out, bitches.
I'm not hugging that bozo.
Anyway, all right, so that's
the
deal.
I'll hug him so I could do a over-the-head belly-to-belly suplex.
You are cut off from the rant until next month, and
oh my God.
Sadly, Tony C is cut off from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks until May. So he can't call in. And chat room is open game, and Facebook is open game until AA sees fit and lays the law down. Mike Norenganger is a host of the Midnight Jury. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There's some fine programming on there, too. Shout out to Iron, who's in the chat room as well. We're about 20 minutes away from the rant. They're going to be taking you all the way up to Mania. And then I got a big post-show, and that'll conclude the 77 hours of programming that the rant has had this weekend.
45 years of broadcasting.
How awesome is that, though, that all the guys
That's
got?
That's great, you know? You know, I mentioned at my job, which, you know, I'm sure Tony C doesn't have one, I get to listen to all the shows now, which is great. I got to listen to the Midnight Jury. You know, I have my beef with Mike Norenganger, but he has a fantastic show. Got to listen to the Wizards with what are their names? Bevan, Nate, Joni, all them great guys. They do a fine show.
We're a part of some wonderful programming, man. I'll plug them at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And including The Rant and Geek Life Radio.
Oh, what about that Mr. Wonderful interview? Did you get to listen to it?
Yeah. You know, Paul Orndorff is...
he's doing rough, but...
He's rough, but he's angry, and you know what? Again, the uncrowned heavyweight champion, in our opinion.
I agree.
You know?
He won that cage match.
Yeah, so...
And you see, you know, he's even offended... Tony C's even offended our man, Harry, from the UK, slagging off his country and his boys, the British Bulldogs, one of the finest tag teams of all time.
How awesome is it that we had guys... Harry and guys like Baza and Noel that join us in the chat room, you know, and it's like some god-awful hour in the morning sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
So.
Tony C saying that I try to pay him all the food stamps.
Tony
Listen,
C,
you
might,
giving
Tony
you
C might want to, you know, do some spell check up there, too.
Yeah, and take your fucking caps off.
Take your caps off and spell the name, spell your stuff properly because you're looking like you're ignorant.
Yeah.
And we know you're not. So
I don't know about you.
I'm a fan of Tony C. I'm not gonna lie. You know, you're my partner, you're my boy. I take care of you. I stuck up for you until you called in and made a mess to yourself.
I didn't do anything. I was speaking the truth. I was laying it down how it is. You know, if somebody else has a problem with it, that has nothing.
We got
to
a man of the cloth in the chat room too. Like, you know what? I think we should when we do this whole thing on in May, we should get like Pastor Sadell in there and some other guys and. You know, and get different. We should get the guy from the Wizards on.
Wait, this guy's a real pastor?
He damn right he is.
He didn't get his pastorship off the internet?
No. He's legit. Pastor's legit, man.
Really?
Yeah, man. With Facebook pals, I see what's going on with Pastor and his family. So he's a man of the cloth.
You know, Kid Human is saying, you know, what does he get for siding with me? He gets eternal salvation. That's what he gets. The
so
Reverend
it's
Dave
team powers,
powers.
Team Powers against Team Tony. The ultimate
Tony C. Vonnie.
Tony C. Vonnie.
The ultimate meatball.
So Pastor,
the Biggest Loser.
We got to get Pastor on, and I want everybody. And I don't care that, and he's black. He says that's awesome.
Who, the pastor?
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
See, that's why he should side with me because I'm for all races.
You're for everybody, huh?
You know, we're gonna win this race together.
We're gonna win this race. Lemonade. That cool, refreshing drink.
You know, we still got time. I want to, you know, we did a WrestleMania month, but we didn't cover a bunch of manias.
Well, there's 30 of them now, David, and you've only been on the show since last year, so we haven't really done
it. It hasn't even been a year yet.
It'll be a year July?
I think June.
July, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, what are some of your favorite WrestleMania moments that we haven't gone over?
Wow.
And let's integrate some of what people are saying in the chat room, you know, their favorite Mania moments.
Well, I got a few. I mean, obviously, the first couple are near and dear to me because it was right after I got into it.
Uh-huh.
So we've already discussed that. Moving forward, I dug the tournament for 5. That was great.
4.
4, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 5 was the Mega Powers breakup.
Yeah, right? The Mega Powers explode.
Right.
My namesake.
I dug that. I also dug 6 was obviously Warrior and Hogan. We spoke about that. What was so good about 7?
7? Hogan versus Slaughter, the career-ending match. Warrior versus Savage, my favorite Mania match of all time.
That's right.
What else? Hart Foundation losing the belts to the Nasty Boys.
Yep.
And Virgil versus the Million Dollar Man, of course.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite Mania moments that we didn't get to talk about this year, at least, was the Mega Powers exploding. That was a huge deal.
We could do that next time around, though.
Yeah. That was a big one for me because growing up as a young Hulkamaniac, back when Hulk Hogan was respectable.
Well, Hogan fought Sid Justice in WrestleMania 8, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of that match.
Savage and Flair.
I love that.
That was a good match.
And
Hart and Piper for the IC title.
That was a big deal, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, let me get a little into the Mega Powers
exploding. Go ahead.
Because, you know, growing up as a Hulkamaniac before I saw the light, my favorite feud was always Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man. And, you know, regardless of Hogan's exploits with the Warrior and Andre the Giant and Iron Sheik and all them, I always thought, and I still do, feel that the Hulk Hogan Macho Man feud was like the feud for Hogan, in my opinion. Just because like these were guys that they just gelled well together in the ring, their personalities matched. You know, it was basically, to me, it was more or less the same guy, but one was, like, really good, and, you know, the other guy was a real bad guy, you know? And especially the whole feud over Liz, Mega Powers exploding on the initial explosion on Saturday night's main event with the Twin Towers.
Right.
Savage collapsing on being thrown out of the ring, falling on Liz. That bump still shocks me to that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, that Mania match, like, in my opinion, I feel it's a bit underrated. Not too many people talk about it, but I feel that was such a huge thing. Like, these guys were friends, and I still I don't do it that often. I need to bring back the Mega Powers handshake when I shake people's hands.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I did that a lot when I was first dubbed the Mega Powers by my good buddy Kirk.
Yeah,
friends with the Shining Wizards.
Yeah. So nine, I mentioned nine a few times in our shows. One of my favorite matches of all time was the Steiners and Head Shrinkers. And then I liked Lex Luger versus Kurt Hennig, even though I'm not a big fan of Luger. And then that was when Yoko pins Bret Hart, and then he issued the challenge, and Hogan comes out and wins the belt. That was awesome.
I find it funny that Tony C talks all this shit about Jack Tunney, but Jack Tunney let that match go.
That's right.
He went on television the next day and said, like, hey, you know, this match is official.
Then, of course, WrestleMania 10, the big ladder match with Razor Ramon and HBK. Savage and Crush, that was great.
The Falls Count Anywhere
match.
Yeah, that was a great match.
Cool.
Anything that Savage was involved with.
Yoko beating Lex Luger by DQ. We all thought Lex was winning the title that day. I thought Lex was going to win the belt that day.
Well, the story goes is that Luger was in a bar either like the night before or the morning of WrestleMania, and he was bragging to everybody saying that he was going to win the world championship that night, and Vince pulled the rug from under him and switched it to Bret Hart.
And then Mania gets a little thin. 11, you had, the I Quit match with Bob Backlund and Bret Hart.
Bret Hart said that was his weakest WrestleMania match.
Diesel and Shawn Michaels.
I didn't like that match.
Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam.
Love that match.
Yeah, I know you love that match. I'm not a big fan
of that. Lawrence Taylor's still got the streak going.
Yep. 12, the debut of Austin versus Savio Vega. The Ultimate Warrior making his return, beating Triple H.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And I love how he even brought that up during the Hall of Fame speech last night. And he's talked about it for years. There's like an old shoot interview with Warrior, and somebody brings up like, oh, you know, Triple H was pissed that you beat him in like 20 seconds. And, Warrior said, well, if I pissed him off and he hates me for doing what I did, you know, look at what he went on to do because of that moment.
Yeah,
so that was a big deal.
Piper and Goldust in the Hollywood Brawl that night. Of course, Taker and Diesel and HBK and Bret Hart doing the Iron Man match.
I'm not a big fan of the Iron Man match.
You didn't like it?
No. I think that's one of those matches I just need to watch again. I felt it was just kind of they probably could have just had a standard match and it would have been off the hook. There was a lot of, it's an Iron Man match, so they were purposely trying to go for the whole 60 minutes so they can get the overtime suicide fall. And what's it called? I just felt that there was just like way too many rest holds and rest moments and stuff like that. So I wasn't a big Iron Man match fan, but again, I'm willing to go back and watch that again. Actually, Bret Hart talked about his match with Vince at Mania. He said that it wasn't it wasn't his greatest moment, and a lot of fans were disappointed about it. But Bret Hart personally said on 30 Years of WrestleMania podcast that his weakest match was the I Quit match with Bob Backlund, just because he just kind of felt that, despite the I Quit, well, they had the throw in the towel match at Survivor Series, but he felt that the I Quit match at Mania just didn't live up to both his and Backlund's expectations, because, despite them having submission moves as their finishers, both guys felt that they didn't really have, like, this big repertoire of submissions to use throughout the match. So that was why he wasn't too thrilled about it.
13 was one of my favorite matches of all time. You had Bret Hart and Steve Austin in a submission match with Ken Shamrock and the ref.
I'm not a big Bret Hart fan, but that match, in my opinion, is legendary.
Taker beat Sid Vicious to win the belt.
Great match.
Let's see. Moving right along to 14. Let's see. You had The Rock fighting Ken Shamrock. Funk and Cactus beat the Billy Gunn and Jesse and the Road Dogg. They're in the dumpster match. Taker and Kane. Austin, Shawn Michaels. That was decent. With Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that was a great match.
That was pretty cool.
That made one of the moments that made Stone Cold who he is. solidified, if I will, if I can say that.
Yeah, WrestleMania 15 was Butterbean, Bart Gunn, Mankind and Big Show, Road Dogg beat Goldust, yeah, he's IC champion.
I don't even remember any of these matches.
Yeah,
after 10, it just gets...
Triple H, Shane McMahon beat X-Pac, Steve Austin beat The Rock for the title. Let's see, moving right along, just trying to...
Somebody said Flair versus Funk at WrestleWar. We're talking about WrestleMania in the chat room.
I'm not paying attention. I have the PWI almanac in front of me, so just skimming through it for Dave, and I have to wrap things up in about 5 or 8 minutes. Let's see.
We're going to be on time, unlike some other shows.
Yeah, true that. WrestleMania 16, back at the pond again. This is Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys. That was great.
Oh, man.
This is when they had the invasion angle with Benoit, Perry Saturn, Dean Malenko.
I'll say this. They dropped the ball with that invasion angle, but there were some, like, awesome matches during the time.
Yeah, Kurt Angle was on this. Chris Jericho. That was a great match. World Champion Triple H beats The Rock, Mick Foley, and Big Show in a Fatal 4-Way. And we go into the 2000s, and it's when WrestleMania is... I mean, I mean, 17 was good.
2000 was pretty good, too.
Yeah, 2000 was all right.
And was it one of our listeners, Harry, said that was his first WrestleMania?
Yeah,
WrestleMania
we talked about that one.
Fatal 4-Way match?
Yeah, the next one was Austin Rock again. Eddie Guerrero with Test. That was decent. I like that. Edge and Christian again with the Hardy Boys and the Dudleys.
This is 17 we're talking about.
Yeah.
17 was one of the best.
I ain't Sheik winning the gimmick battle royal. Remember that?
I remember it took him 17 minutes to get to the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Kane Raven for the hardcore title with the Big Show. That was pretty cool. I thought so.
WrestleMania 17 is...
17 was good.
It was one of the best.
17 was good. Let's see.
And
18 was
Hogan Rock.
Triple H would beat Chris Jericho. Rock and
that
Hogan.
That match sucked.
Yeah, Rock and Hogan.
And Hogan made
DDP
it.
And Christian was good.
That was a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, Kane and Kurt Angle was decent. Undertaker pinned Ric Flair.
Yeah, that was a good match. You know,
Edge and Booker T was good. I like that match.
Booker T, yeah.
Booker T's going to be a PWS in June, brother. It's super
really?
Show. Yeah, we got to go.
I can dig that.
We could definitely dig that.
What? Did you just say?
We got to get him to do a lineup for the show. Can you imagine?
Oh, God.
See the PWS.
Oh, we got to get some sort of portable.
We can use our phone.
Yeah.
We can use our phone for that. WrestleMania 19 from Safeco Field. Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio was good. I enjoyed that. World's Greatest Tag Team. Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas beating Eddie and Chavo.
Yeah.
And Chris Benoit and Rhino. Michaels and Jericho was good. Triple H Booker T was good. Hogan beating up on Vince McMahon was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Rock and Austin. Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle when Brock almost killed himself.
Yeah, with that shooting star press.
Yeah.
Landed on his big old dome.
Yep. Let's see. I'm just trying to go to skim through. I mean, there's... And of course, I was at WrestleMania 20. That was John Cena coming out with the Nick Skier beating Big Show.
That was a good match. That was back when John Cena, you know, people still loved John Cena.
I was at this card. This was a really good card. When Eddie Guerrero beat Kurt Angle, that was great.
Oh, man.
Taker and Kane was good. Benoit beat Triple H was fantastic. And Shawn Michaels.
One of my favorite WrestleMania moments. And they have a rematch like a month later.
Oh, he beat Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Twice.
That was fantastic.
Beat him fucking twice.
That was fantastic.
And... you know, I'm not the biggest Triple H fan. I do have respect for Triple H, but they had a great Iron Man match on Raw.
They did. 21, Edge wins the Money in the Bank. Kurt Angle beat Shawn Michaels by submission. The big Suum match with Aki Bono and Big Show was awful.
Which was called, yesterday on WrestleMania Today. Bad News Barrett called it the number one worst moment of WrestleMania.
Wow. Cena beat JBL and Batista beat Triple H.
WrestleMania 21 was one of the best, in my humble opinion.
22 from Chi-Town. Let's see. John Cena beat Triple H. JBL beat Chris Benoit for the U.S. title. Edge and Mick Foley in a hardcore match. That was great with the table and the fire.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was Mick Foley credits that as his one WrestleMania moment.
That's right. Undertaker beating Mark Henry in a casket match. Shawn Michaels beat Mr. McMahon. Rey Mysterio beats Randy Orton and Kurt Angle in a three-way.
I haven't seen that Mania. I want to see it.
We'll watch it. We have a couple hours. We can mess around with the network before we log in there. 23 from Ford Field. I actually have the hockey jersey from that in my closet. I bought it because it resembles the Detroit Red Wings jersey. Ric Flair and Carlito beating Gregory Helms and Chavo. That was
woo!
Cool. Woo! Let's see.
Walk that aisle.
Mr. Kennedy won the Money in the Bank that year. Great Khali was still relevant. Awful.
He was a world champion. We need to watch that Punjabi prison match.
Benoit beating MVP.
Yeah, I was not a big MVP fan, but a lot of people said that match was phenomenal.
Match was decent. A Taker and Batista for the SmackDown title. ECW fought the New Breed. Remember the New Breed was Elijah Burke, Marcus Carvon.
I don't remember that at all.
Matt Stryker and Kevin Thorne. Bobby Lashley beat Umaga. That was the shave your head thing with the
Donald
Trump and McMahon.
Bobby Lashley.
And Shawn Michaels jobs to John Cena for the main event.
They had a great chemistry going in the ring. And that hour plus match that they had on Raw.
Yeah, it wasn't decent. 24 from Orlando.
It wasn't decent or it was?
It was decent.
Yeah, it was good.
CM Punk wins the Money in the Bank. Batista beats Umaga. Kane beats Chavo for the ECW title. Shawn Michaels beat Ric Flair in a career-ending match, which is
one of my favorites.
That was a good match.
Made Shawn Michaels look like $1 million that night.
Money Mayweather beat up on a Big Slow. And Taker and Edge was good for the main event. That was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I saw it recently. It was pretty damn good, yeah.
Yeah.
I was totally worked by Edge. Yeah,
I loved then. Edge, man.
I hated Edge and hated his personality and everything. But going back on all that kind of stuff, I really have respect for the man and what he contributed to the business. Put his body in jeopardy.
And the little guy were watching 26 yesterday.
What was on that?
That was what do you call it? Another Money in the Bank.
You damn right I'm going to disrespect Bobby Lashley. That
Triple H and Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, CM Punk, Bret Hart beat McMahon, Jericho pinned Edge for the title, to retain the title, I'm sorry, and Taker beat Shawn Michaels, and Batista and John Cena. It was all right. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
I'll say this. Going back on the Taker, Shawn Michaels matches, when they first went down and I saw them, I was not impressed. I think people were just making a big deal out of it because, these dudes were actually having a wrestling match compared to what, was on television at that time. And going back to watch them now, I still, I don't hate those matches, but I've grown to enjoy them a bit more. But I don't feel that they're as great as people were making them out to be. But I think it's all due to, what is being presented at that time.
And 27 was Miz beating Cena, Taker beating Triple H.
You know, I really hated that Miz-Cena match, but then I found out Miz was legitimately knocked out during that match, which is why it ended up being complete shit.
Yeah, then next year you had Punk, Jericho, Rock, Cena. Kane, Randy Orton was decent. I mean, it just cut downhill from there. 29, which was last year, I was at that. Punk and Undertaker, Triple H, Brock Lesnar was. I thought Triple H and Brock Lesnar was good, and Cena beat The Rock.
Mm.
So, and that leads up to today. So,
I want to make a request. I think the referee for our my match with Tony C or my debate with Tony C should be the pastor.
Yeah, I already said that.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm putting my info in there. We got a song.
We do have a song.
Wait, we should do it from the intro.
Do I have to?
Yeah, please. This is our, we got to wrap things up, but let's do it from the intro. All
right, so we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We got to go, actually. We're about a minute out.
Yeah, this is payback. This is your receipt from...
No, you couldn't be more than all right,
so guys,
five.
Thank you so much for having us on. The rant is next. Enjoy WrestleMania. We're back on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Support the Shining Wizards Network. We are a production of them. Support the rant. Support everybody. Twitty plugs out because we're just pressed for time. But
we start that from the top. I don't want this tainted by you talking over it.
But remember, when you put down one mother,
good night,
you put down mothers all over the world.